Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the streets day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Tell you he can save. The Lord can save. Ooh, he can save. Save your soul. I tell you, through Jesus Christ, your life can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting joy and peace within your soul. Ooh. And in many ways, I feel just like an old man. Born in the country, raised on a farm. No money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, Mama and Daddy raised me up on the real deal. And that's God Almighty. And sometimes when I sing about Jesus and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody.
Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother Ben, and I welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. But I got to take a pause for the cause, and I love that song. I love that song because many times when you see somebody on the street, like you said, you don't know what their troubles are. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know their story. And yet they looked at Jesus the same way, that he was a nobody. Where he come from was where people wasn't even getting credit for. They looked, he didn't have fancy clothes. He didn't have the finest tea. He didn't live in a palace. He went from street to street, from road to road, to town to town, just trying to tell everybody about the good news. And when I think about it, this song blows me away. I love this song. This is my theme song. I don't feel that today I'm a nobody, but there was a time I was a nobody, trying to figure out what to do with my life to become somebody, the way the world thought I should be. But when I received Jesus, and I want to give credit to my God sister who's gone to glory, Dale Turner, who introduced me to the Lord, and she blessed me in such a way. And I was with a young man at the time. We both were young men, and now he has a huge, huge church. God has blessed him in many ways. But she introduced me to him, and that day I got saved. But I got saved. Yes, my soul was saved. My spirit was saved, but I still wasn't free. And yet God continued to work on me, to work on me. He didn't give up on me. You know, the Bible tells you love is patient. God was patient with me. He took this nobody, this guy who was lost, just lost in the world's ideals, because that's all I knew. And he put someone in my path to get me on the straight and narrow. And then my best friend has gone also to glory, Dwight, who took me to the church that I'm presently in, and I'm being utilized in a mighty way, my gifts and my talents. And then I want to give credit to Pastor Prophet Teresa QT, Elder QT, because they're giving me another opportunity. God opens up doors. God will take our gifts and our talents and the measure of faith that he gave us, and he will propel us forward if we just, as the man say, I raise my hand and I give it all to you. And I know this is a process, a developmental process, but praise God, God don't give up on us. He keeps working with us. He keeps working with us until we finally begin to spiritually mature to be able to walk this journey in a whole different way, the way he intended us to be. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and your long, long suffering with us. Father God, you didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to do anything, but you gave everything, including, Father God, your only begotten Son. Father God, all we can do is bow down, fall to our knees, and say thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise you, Father God, for being our Heavenly Father, who gives willingly and cheerfully, Father God, even when we don't deserve it. But yet, Father God, you love us so much, Father, that you continue to show us every day through your mercy and your tender kindness, Father God, that we are worth saving. And Father, right now, as I get ready to share the word, Father God, and share what you have put upon my heart through the Holy Spirit, Father God, let me, David, decrease, and let you, the Holy Spirit, rise up big in me, that I may be able to share your word with accuracy and proficiency in a way, Father God, that it pierces the hearts of many. And Father God, it causes their thought process to begin to be renewed in you, being transformed in you, becoming a part of you, wanting to know more about you, developing a passion for you, wanting to spend time with you, wanting to build an intimate relationship with you. Father God, I know that the world is filled with challenges, but Father God, you said we should not be deceived by this, or we should not be confused by this, because these things will come to pass. But oh, we got a greater hope. We got a greater future ahead of us, Father God, so we don't have to build our treasures here on earth, Father God, because there are great rewards in heaven with you. But Father, as we go forward, I pray for everyone on this line and everyone who's not, that somewhere, somehow, Father God, your word reaches them. That, Father God, your word penetrate their heart. If they have a heart of stone, Father God, turn it to flesh. And those who know you, Father God, create them a clean heart and renew the right spirit in them, Father. And every day let us continue to be transformed by constantly on a continuum, Father God, renewing our mind. So as we renew our mind, Father God, we begin to find peace in you, Father God, that perfect peace, that mature peace that help us, Father God, to become who and what you intend us to be and prepare us for our assignment. Father God, I pray that, Father, you bless everyone, Father God, on this line and across the world, in the countries, the states, the cities, the communities, the neighborhoods, the family, and each individual, Father God. That they begin, Father God, to grow in you. For I know they seek you first, your kingdom and all this righteousness. There be no need for worry, Father God, because all that they need, all that they desire and want that aligns with your will be added in their lives. We just have to keep fighting the fight of faith and trust in you. Jesus said in Mark, have faith in God. That's all we need. And you said we don't have to have a lot. The size of a mustard, but all it can produce great results. So I thank you, Father God, as I go forward. Show me, Father God, through your deliverance, Father God, how to present the word in a way, Father God, that changes lives, in the way that you wanted to be changed, and prepare them for the assignment. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I am emotionally excited today. I'm emotionally excited. Because I know that God is moving. God is transforming. God is creating in me the clean heart. God has given me, if you will, the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Each day I'm getting a little closer. And that is my prayer for everyone. So I'm emotionally charged because the seed that is being planted, I have faith that it's going to manifest a return that will be mind-blowing, a hundredfold return. There will be a revival in the world. So I'm excited. But as we go forward, let me present a few quotes to you. A true relationship is two imperfect people refusing to give up on each other. Your greatest test when you are able is to bless someone else while you are going through a storm. And as I look back on my life, I realize that every time I thought I was being rejected from something good, I was actually being redirected to something better. And the scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, so we care for you because we love you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And Hebrews 10:25 tells us, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scriptures is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that a man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Oh, God is preparing us, people. God is preparing us. He's preparing us for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I want to share with you a story. One of them once upon a time stories. So once upon a time there lived a king who ruled a happy, prosperous kingdom. The people of the kingdom were very happy and lived a life with abundance, with wealth and fortune. One day the king decided to travel to visit various places in his kingdom. He visited various historical and travel centers in his kingdom. And he went distant and remote places where his chariot couldn't reach. So the king visited many of those sites on foot. Traveling long distance on foot was a wonderful, wonderful experience for the king. He got to interact with his people and learn more about their lives and problems, which many leaders should do. Many of the people were very happy to meet the king and express how they were very happy under his leadership. But the king wasn't used to the long walk, and he began to experience severe pain in his leg. Well, he could not tolerate the pain as he walked all the way through the rough path. He complained to his ministers that the road wasn't comfortable. The king also expressed his concern for his people, not as a leader, who had to walk along those roads every day. For the convenience of the people, the king ordered to cover all the roads in the kingdom with leather. The king believed that this would make the people's life a little more convenient. Again, a king who had the heart of the people. The minister was stunned to hear about such an absurd order from the king. Not only was the king's fantasy of having leather paved way expensive, it would destroy the lives of many cattle to get that amount of sufficient leather. A wise king advisor came up to the king and said that he had a better idea. My uncle used to always say, I'm like Ford, I got a better idea. Better ideas are good. He took the size of the king's feet and made him some nice, comfortable leather shoes. And he requested the king to wear the shoes and walk on that rough path. The king admired the comfortable leather shoes because he didn't feel any of the pain any longer in his legs and his feet when he walked the stony path. The king applauded the genius ideal of the advisor because not only did it give him comfort, but it saved the king a lot of money and thousands of cattle's lives. You see, some good intentions may not be a wise steward. That is for the best interest for others and yourself. However, when you are quick to listen to wise counsel, it makes the path to our journey a bit more comfortable to walk on. So we're going to move right into our series. This is going to be a two. Who blades are you sharpening with love? Life is really testing people with the negative presentation from the news media today. For it's no wonder people are living in fear. And we know Satan is celebrating because of this. For a time, families are becoming more divided, relationships are falling apart, and mind you, this is not just any type of relationship as we basically center around these families, but all types of relationships are being compromised today. Thus, instead of people turning to God, it seems that they're turning away. Statistics are telling us that people don't even believe in God. A high 39%. That's high. It's just like the Hebrew slaves when Moses went up to the mountain to consult with God, how soon they forget what God had done for them in the past, doing for them in the present, and what he will be doing for them in the future. So are we today. But last night I was listening to a dynamic sister on her talk show talking about faith, stating that out of Hebrew 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. However, in many cases, when we don't see it, we don't believe. But I like what she emphasized. She said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I took that to mean that our faith is about what we believe now, in the moment, not what we see now. It's about what we want and hope for in the future. So we should activate our faith now towards something we are hoping for which we have no evidence at the present time to prove that what we will be before us. However, our faith is in the present moment. We believe right now. This is what God's word was saying in Jeremiah 11. When God said he has a plan to give us hope and a future, this is with our faith, activate our faith right now that produces the evidence of what we hope for in the future. So you see, how we can relate. So let's see how we can relate the scripture that tells us in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And the other scripture I want you to take into account is 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. And then we're going to incorporate the five love languages as it relates to love in order that we can truly be people that God intended for us to be, which is that who our iron will sharpen one another. In other words, our blades will be sharpened on each other, helping to build one another. So let me lay the foundation of these pearls that the Holy Spirit entrusted upon me to share. Let's look at what 1 Corinthians 13:4 and 8 say. Yes, I address these qualities of love in other shows of mine, but I bring these scriptures up a great deal, and I say this in all my shows because the Word tells us that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and all I'm doing is sharing the Word. This builds our faith. We need to know what love really is. He didn't break it down in the Old Testament, but he broke it down in the New Testament so we would have and understand the qualities of love is. But let me go and hear it again. Love is kind. Oh, my God, God has been so kind to us when he could have just wiped us out. And love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. See, if you're sharpening each other's iron, you've been dishonoring that person. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. See, if you're trying to sharpen iron, you're not trying to dull it. You're not trying to crush the spirit. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, God's truth. What happens when you rejoice in God's truth and you follow God's truth? You are set free. See, love always protects, always trusts, always hope, always preserves. Hallelujah, love never fails. See, God can never fail. And then let's look at, I want to share about the five love languages. This book was written by Gary Chapman in 1992, so it's been a skip, let's say about 18 years or so. However, I believe it brings significant information that we can help many people in their outward expressions of love. See, a lot of times, I've had many guys, when I talk to the fellas, because I do a lot of men's groups, and, man, we go back and forth about this word of love. You know, oh, man, love is love. Look, man, yeah, that's cool. My woman all know I love her, man. Oh, man, love means different things to different people. We come up with all these different lines, you see, but we don't have that outward expression. Even when I talk to some women, they don't have that foundation. So, but he was given, and he's a minister himself, was given the opportunity through the Holy Spirit, I want to believe, these five key points of expression. He says it's words of affirmation, where you uphold, encourage, and support, and reaffirm to people the positiveness in them. Act of service. You begin to render unto others as iron value, selfless service. Then is receiving gifts. People like to feel they've been appreciated, and people like to receive. We were given the gift of life. Then there's quality time, giving someone your undivided attention, not watching the football game or watching the soap operas, and then trying to interact with someone as called a double task. Well, I can double task. The mind can only occupy a few things at once, and basically only one thing at a time, really. And then there's physical touch, appropriate physical touch. These languages are outward manifestation of the inward development of the individual who wants to express or display how they can sharpen each other, if you will, iron, sharpening iron, or showing how they feel. Now, for us who really connect, now for us to really connect the dots for this two-part series, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through me to be able to share this information. So I'm going to do that now. So I'd like to suggest that iron sharpened iron requires a degree of responsibility for both parties to be willing to come together and permit each individual involved to give constructive redirection. And once they establish a relationship of trust and mutual respect, in order to address some particular shortcomings or exhortations that either may have or need in their lives, this allows both parties involved to maximize on the God-given gifts that they have in order to help them to move closer to their personal or sometimes collective assignment that God has designed for them. I always ask the question, what does that look like? Let's see from the word of visual. See, the Bible says that Jonathan took a real liking to King David. He made a covenant, a promise with him, where through their time together, he kept David safe or promoted his interests to the point he was destroying his own chances of his own inheritance to his father's throne. Now, I don't know. That sounds like somebody really sharpening each other, really having a vested interest in each other. See, Jonathan's friendship with David was at a cost of his own career and reputation. Not too many of us do that. See, as the old saying, we're talking loud and saying nothing. A lot of times we say what we're going to do, and especially when it comes down to who we call friends. But, you know, the Bible says there's no greater thing that a man do than to lay down his life for his friend. This is what Jonathan was, not just a physical part of his life, but I'm talking about his inheritance, that which could have been passed down to him. This shows us what an individual would do to one another for another's best interest. But I must point out this. We always, always have to do a check and balance. Sometimes we can go overboard, and we saw the king had good intentions to make it comfortable for his subordinates. But yet, someone had to come with wise counsel to do the check and balance. So no matter what, you may have good intentions to be there and sharpen the iron of another brother or sister, but at the end of the day, you got to make sure you don't go overboard, because sometimes it could cut you. That blade could cut you. And as the song says, the first cut is the deepest. So we have to make sure that we do the check and balance. But let's look at this scenario from 1 Samuel 21 through 17. So as they would say, if you have the Bibles, pull it out and be able to kind of follow along. So David escaped from the prophet's village. Then he ran to see Jonathan and asked, "Why does your father, Saul, want to kill me? What have I done wrong?" Jonathan replied, "My father can't be trying to kill you. He never does anything without telling me about it. Why would he hide this from me? It can't be true." David said, "Jonathan, I swear it's true. But your father know how much you like me, and he didn't want to break your heart. That's why he didn't tell you. I swear by the living Lord and by your own life that I'm only one step ahead of death." Then Jonathan said, "Tell me what to do, how to do it." David answered, "Tomorrow is the new moon festival. Eat dinner with your father, but instead I'll hide in the field until the evening of the next day." So you see two men working together on a problem, looking out for each other. And then he says, David says, "If Saul wonders where I am, tell him to his home of Bethlehem so he could take part in the sacrifice his family makes every year. And if your father says it's all right, then I know I'm safe. But if he gets angry, you know he wants to harm me." But then David says, "Be kind to me. After all, it is your ideal to promise the Lord that we will always be loyal friends. I often say I may not be perfect, but I'm loyal. I'm loyal to the core. If I've done anything wrong," David said, "kill me yourself, but don't hand me over to your father." "Don't worry," Jonathan said. "If I find out that my father wants to kill you, I will certainly let you know." This is amazing. He would circumvent his father for his friend. See, that goes by, it says that Jesus tells us we have to hate our mother and our father. What we're talking about here is we have to make a sacrifice. We have to fall into that obedience. Jonathan, I would say, was basically obedient in this area, but more so he was willing to make a sacrifice. He was willing to lay down his life for his friend. He was willing to do just that. David says, "How will we do that? Let's go out in this field, and I'll tell you down the answer." When they got there, Jonathan said, "I swear by the Lord God Israel that 2 days from now I'll know what my father is planning. Of course, I'll let you know if he's friendly towards you. But if he wants to harm you, I promise to tell you and help you escape." This is a great movie here. And I don't know if they made one on this part of David's life, but such a visual here. Two men looking out for each other. "Now ask the Lord to punish me severely if I do not keep the promise." Now, he going to ask the Lord to do him harm if he don't keep his promise. Is that not loyalty? Is that iron sharpening iron? And I pray that the Lord will bless you just as he used to bless my father. Someday the Lord will wipe out all your enemies. Then if I'm still alive, please be as kind to me as the Lord has been. But if I'm dead, be kind to my family. A request here is a reversal. Now they flip it around. This is how connected they were. This is how it should be even with family. This is how it should be with husband and wife. This is how it should be with brother to brother. This is how it should be with sister and sister. That commitment, that loyalty, that you're going to keep looking out for each other. You're going to support each other. You're going to be there for each other. Check and balance, though. Jonathan and David made an agreement that even David's descendants would have to keep. Then Jonathan said, I pray that the Lord will take revenge on your descendants if they break the promise. He's going to even take it down to the next generation. This is commitment, people. Jonathan thought as much of David as he thought of himself. So he asked David to promise once more that he will be a loyal friend. Again, no greater thing than a man do to lay down his life for his friend. Just something that in the military, and I brought it up in some past sessions, was that we had seven army values, love, respect, selfless service, duty, integrity, and personal courage. This is what we see these men exercising, especially on Jonathan's end, because he was willing to give it all up. He exercised personal courage to maintain his loyalty. And they respected each other and loved each other so much that they would be willing to go as far as it could go to ensure that both individuals would be okay. Here is an interaction between two men who established a closer relationship than most people, especially men, build today. I was on a podcast last night, and we're talking about fatherhood and trying to prevent wedlock in the youth. Because right now in the African-American community, the population is up to 71%. This is a 40% increase since the 60s. This is madness. But if they don't have a model, they don't have anyone to connect to, if they have no iron to sharpen iron, how's it going to be able to be straightened out? So why does this look like iron sharpens iron? They're trying to be responsible and accountable to the other. In addition, their motivation was to be an asset to each other in order to accomplish the desired intent. See, we can see that based on accountability, the right heart motive, and the right attitude, and then the right content, the willingness to take care of each other. And David and Jonathan Cage, both of them, if you will, were the representation of iron needed to be sharpened or support and encourage each other. Are we doing that today? Then their willingness to allow each other to be sharpened. See, this is another thing. It's one thing, iron sharpened iron. But if you ain't willing, if you got a closed hand and a closed mind, you can't see nothing. In this case, they were willing to listen to each other's needs. And because of the fact that they wanted the best for each other, they were willing to display an attitude of openness and acceptance as they related to the wise counsel, advice, and the constructive redirection for each other in order to execute the decision made to increase and produce the higher probability of the best outcome. So now where does 1 Corinthians come into play, people? Both David and Jonathan was concerned about the other in the circumstances that they seemed to be unfavorable. David being threatened by Saul, Jonathan confused about his father not informing him on such an action, David not wanting to interfere with Jonathan's father's relationship, but nor did Jonathan want any harm to come to David. Thus, Paul points out, love does not entertain self-seeking behavior. Love always protect with the intent to preserve and to give hope to build trust. They had trust, which they continued to build. They were trying to preserve and protect each other, and they were not about for themselves. They were about looking out for each other. This is iron sharpening iron at a higher level. This is a spiritual maturity, my friends. This is moving towards the loving our brothers as the second commandment after the first of loving God. So now how does the five love languages apply? We can see that Jonathan was rendering a few of the features of the five love languages. First, affirmation. where he was upholding and supporting David no matter what. Next, he displayed acts of service. He was willing to go investigate the claim that David was saying about his father, and more, he was willing to put in the quality time. And David felt so close to Jonathan that he preferred for Jonathan to take his life than his own father. This is how much respect they had for each other. This is how much of they were willing to exercise that selfless service, or if you will, acts of service. Because he'd rather have Jonathan take his life. And because this is intimate commitment and covenant, will both show how they were willing to invest the quality time to get to the truth. Because they wanted to be set free. David said that if your father don't get upset and say he cool with it, yeah, I can come on back. But if your father get upset, we now know and confirm that your father want to take me out. So you see, we have to realize every day what is happening in our relationships when we're interacting with others. What is our commitment? When we see each other, you know, I'm not a big fan, probably nobody is actually, a big fan of going to funerals. But because when I go to the funerals, I hear the people, and as they speak, and sometimes I know the people. And they'll get up and they'll say all these niceties. But while that person was living, they had all the opposite things to say. They weren't giving words of affirmation to support and encourage that person. They was tearing them down. They were crushing the spirit, especially, let's say, if he OD'd. Or as the man said, I started drinking, and I lived on the street, and they talked about him. Yeah, he was a good kid in high school, but look at him now. He ain't nothing but a crackhead. Look at him. She ain't nothing but out there selling her body. Look at her. Instead of trying to elevate, motivate, encourage, and support, and bring this person to the position that God intended for them to be the best they could be, oh, no, we tear them down. We're not willing to execute any acts of service. Man, he need to get a job. You know, if you see the video, the man's trying to tell the people about God and they're ignoring him, just ignoring him. And when you look at the people, it's the funny thing about people. Sometimes they don't even see they look just like the man that was homeless, but they think they better. But see, if you go back to 1 Corinthians, when it tells us love is not proud, it's not arrogant. But, oh, that human conceit is off the scale. This is why it tells us that we need to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, because we got it wrong, people. See, that king that I talked about earlier, that king could have just sat back and said, man, that's some rough roads. They're going to have a hard time walking them roads. I saw for myself and went on back up to his palace and chilled out, because apparently he didn't do much walking because he said he got tired and he started experiencing pain. Excuse me. But yet he had a heart to serve. He was like the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't say he didn't come here to be served. He come to serve. See, so he was willing to give those gifts, give something to show appreciation to his subjects, if you will. And this is what Jesus did when he gave his life for us. And he was willing to spend that quality time. Why was he willing to spend that quality time? I know that because he came here and he walked among the people. Then he gathered 12 close and he spent that quality time. When you spend that quality time with somebody and you ain't trying to double task, you ain't there looking at the game and trying to talk to your wife, then now you get to know them. You get to understand them. You get to begin to know the ins and outs. And I always tell people all the time, you telling me about current events, I want to know you. Can we talk for 3 or 4 hours so I can get to know you? So if I know you need something and you need your iron sharpened, I know where to go. But, oh, no, we too proud for that. We don't spend that quality time. So we use diversion, which is what Satan used. We use diversion. Oh, baby, I'm watching a game. Oh, son, I'd like to go play with you, but I got to go play ball. So they was telling me today in my Bible study that a young man got himself in a racial situation, and so his partner, he wasn't with him, and so he ended up getting killed. So then when he returned back to the school, and this is a military academy, when he returned back to class, he seen all the graffiti, the racial graffiti on the wall. So then he went and found the guy he thought was about, and he beat him down. Well, when he beat him down, what ended up happening was he got expelled from school. So there's that vicious cycle going. He had no one to turn to in a male figure to go talk to my son, not to exercise that wrath towards someone. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and allow yourself to be slow to anger, because anger only produces a negative outcome. See, if somebody spent that quality time with him, that might have been different. So these outward expressions of, as Gary would call them, the five love languages, we need to build upon. We need to develop. And we need to take the time to learn. I emphasize this, and I emphasize it over and over and over. We need to learn each word and what it means in its full meaning to the best of our human capacity, with the hope that the Holy Spirit even amplify that, if you will, or magnify it, I should say. Magnify the knowledge of from 4 to 8. You can read the rest of it. But those basic qualities will give you the baseline to be able to exercise the greater part of what God wants us to do, and that is to exercise love to one another. And be that support. Be that person that's going to sharpen. Be that person that's going to help someone to grow and become what God intended us to be. So next week, take the time to develop a stronger foundation of the qualities of love. It will show you show how we can outwardly express these five love languages in a more effective way, so that, again, we will be iron sharpening iron on a continuum. And while we go forward, I want you to ask yourself these questions. How are we presently sharpening each other? And how are we displaying the qualities of love? And how are we displaying our love languages to each other? And is it producing the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Let me go back a minute. See, when we start walking in that love and we doing everything in love, then most of the time, let me give you this visual. So now a man come home, because when he comes home, he's not coming home to an argument, or vice versa, because now I was thinking more about back in the day when my mom didn't work and my dad would come home. So when he come home, both my parents, I like to say they OCD, because they did things like clockwork. So when my father walked in the house like clockwork, his food was on the table. My mother worked in a laundry. She literally, we would see her walking from the store. We'd run up there and get the groceries, bring them in, and my mother would go in like clockwork. And when my father came in that door, that food was there. But my father had a peaceful environment because my mother wasn't an arguing person. And it was a joy for him to come home. He, as they say, it was his palace, truly it was. Why? Because my mother rendered goodness and kindness and gentleness to him. And unfortunately, my father had a few other challenges, but my mother rendered that patience, and she was faithful. And even though there were times, I'm sure he got the better. There's a lot of doubt. He got the best of her. She maintained that self-control. This is because she wanted to maximize on his ability, because she continued to support him. But I like to say to people, I was telling someone this the other day about Proverbs 31. I like to say that it's not just the woman who should exercise these qualities of the virtuous woman, but the man should too. Because when it's all said and done, I like to remove the flesh, and I like to say this is a human issue. And if we're rendering the things that God has given us to execute to each other in this level of bearing good fruit, because don't nobody like no rotten fruit. If you make it a more visual, nobody don't know rotten apple. Don't nobody want no worms in it. They don't want none of that. They want something that's going to say, ooh, I love that apple. I love that apple pie. It brings me joy. See, because there was love put in it. So we have to ask these questions again. I'll say them again. How are we displaying the qualities of love? And I'll repeat them for you. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful, not arrogant or rude, does not insist on its own way. It's slow to anger, keeps no record of wrong. It rejoices in truth and not in evil doing. Love always preserves, always protects. Always open, always trust. Basically, you're always creating a hopeful environment that people can see to the future. As my sister said yesterday, because you're activating your faith now for the evidence you're looking for to be produced at some point. at some point. See, and as we do these things, we can keep fighting the good fight of faith and in the race. Hallelujah. So let me move to the second part of the show. Be your brother's keeper, even if they don't. Being my brother's keeper can mean a few things, but we have learned we need to be those brothers and sisters that sharpen each other's iron by that support, being that person who we can trust, not just in words, but also in deeds. Being that brother or sister that we can lean on. See, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 13:1, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. And 1 John 4:20-21 says, claims to love God, yet hate his brothers and sisters, a liar. For whoever does not love their brothers and sisters, whom they have seen. Now, this is who you see every day. You know, I see a lot of people say, oh, I love the Lord, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Quote every scripture in the Bible, it seems. But then they forget about loving that brother. I ain't talked to my sister in God knows when. I can't stand my brother. Well, what's up with that? But again, we're being transformed, so we got to let patience have its perfect work. But the word is telling you can see them. But if you can see them, you cannot love God whom you have not seen. And he gives us this commandment. Any man, anyone who loves God must also love their brothers and sisters. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. We make bad decisions. In this flesh, we made bad decisions. Jesus had 12, and he already too knew what was going to bail out on him, was going to do him a disservice. But Jesus understood the bigger picture. He understood the bigger picture. He knew what Judas' assignment was, and he knew what Peter's was. He could see Peter moving from Simon to become Peter the Rock. See, that's how we have to start seeing each other. A lot of the things we see in society today, and I got a few more stories of today from people today telling me about young men and what's happening to them and the trouble they're getting in. Because they need a model. They need someone to sharpen that iron because it's dull. And Satan likes that because you're in effect. I've never seen, and it's sad about this too, I've never seen a swordsman go in with a dull sword because if he do, he's going to be defeated. So we need to even know how to use the sword because that's a part of our equipment, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of right, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of spirit, and the shield of faith. And faith is about now. So then he says in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. The late, great Bill Withers stated that he was inspired in 1972 to write this song, Lean On Me. Due to his childhood in the coal mining town of Slab Fort, West Virginia, after he had moved to Los Angeles and found himself missing the strong community ethics and support of his hometown, iron sharpened iron. Thus these lyrics came about. Sometime in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong. And I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. And this is important. Please swallow your pride if I have things you need to borrow, for no one can feel those of your needs if you won't let them show. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. For we all need somebody to lean on. See, I just might have a problem that you understand. For we all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. No words are more true today than when the late great Bill Withers wrote it in 72. Again, I am my brother's keeper, and I stand up and I say, yes, can you? That's the question I leave you. So my brothers and sisters, we close this out, and again, next week we'll follow up on this session, Iron Sharpening Iron. It's important that you come to the kingdom of God. It's important. Your life depends on it. If you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would tell you from a personal experience, my personal experience, is that the greatest decision I ever made. Now, again, I would say, once you get saved, this is not a magical transition. Well, now, as Jeannie would if you will, blink her head, overhead and blink, that all of a sudden now everything changes. You're miraculously without trouble, trials, and tribulations. Oh, no. Oh, no. It only begun. So you say, why would I want to do that then? Because the battle's already won. See, you have hope in the future, as I spoke about, because now you've activated that faith because you was willing to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And once you start building that faith, you begin, through your experience, you begin to develop what they call the ever-increasing faith, because God will pull you from one trial or tribulation up. And even if not, as the young three men would say, Meshach, Abednego, and I'm blocking the other one now, but at any rate, he, as they would say, that even if not, God would still provide. Why? Because even absent from the body, present with the Lord. But while you walk the earth, it gives you a better sense of how to regulate your life, control your life, that you can have that peace to surpass all understanding. As I was telling the elder today, being saved is not the absence of trial and tribulation. Just like having courage is not the absence of fear. It's being able to handle. I heard a young rapper say, Lord, hide me. Then he said, oh, no, give me the strength to handle it. And God will. Because life is going to bring challenges. As I always say, I've never seen nobody build muscle without resistance, without some pressure. This is how we build our spiritual muscle. And as we build it, we know how to deal with life and its challenges. So if you were willing to, with me, to say right now that you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and that thou can be saved, and then, Father, you would say, I confess to Jesus, he is my Lord. I make him the Lord of my life right now. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead, and I renounce my past life with Satan and close the door to any of his devices. Lord, I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Hallelujah. Past, present, and future. I believe and accept you, Jesus, as my Lord. And I'm now a new creation. All things are passed away. See, now all that stuff is gone into the sea. Now you're moving forward to become more of what God would say, giving you the victory. And now all things become new. Why? Because now you're in Jesus Christ. You're with him. You are now with him. And then you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And once you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive that power. And once you get that power, that impact power, to change things through prayer. It's worth its weight in gold, people. But I hope anyone who hasn't accepted Christ will be willing to say that. It is not now. As this one said, tomorrow. I can't say tomorrow. But if not with me, with someone, in the next moment or two, I would hope. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, don't forget, check out Kingdom Builders International Development Institute. If you want to email us and send any requests, it's kingdombuilders at gmail.com. If you want to contact the home office, contact us at 313-583-9739. And if you want to sow into the ministry, it's www.giveify.com, basically spelled GiveLify.com. And be a blessing unto the ministry. Pastor Prophet Teresa and Elder QT are doing a wonderful thing. They're giving, as each week I'm hearing new speakers come on and they're delivering. And I was listening to a young lady last night, she was so dynamic and so humorous, and I felt her passion. I felt her excitement. I felt her sincerity. That's life-changing, people. See, we as they used to have a song called Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. All of us have been there. All of us have. But when you find the love of Jesus, you're in the right place. As a man said, you got the right one, baby. You got the right one. So let us continue to seek ye first his kingdom and all his righteousness. I'm your host, Brother David, and as I always like to end by saying, pray for me and I'll pray for you, and let's look and see what God's going to do. You have a blessed week, and again, remember, sharpen somebody else's iron this week. Make sure that you take the pause for the call and give somebody some quality time or give them some affirmation. Show them something to give. Show that personal touch. Show them that they have value, because that's what those five expressions are about. It's about expressing value. God bless you. Love you. See you next week. Yeah.